This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
Mass firing day is today. And unfortunately, for a lot of folks who were hoping that the courts would get in the way, they will not get in the way. They are not going to get themselves involved at this point. We had earlier today a court hearing on the injunctive relief that was being requested by several state workers out in Walla Walla. They were hoping to get a judge to say, hold off, we're not going to allow the governor to move forward with this. Unfortunately, despite the lawyers making really good arguments that this does irreparable harm due to job loss, and they argue uneven accommodation and granting religious and medical exemptions, which is 100% factually correct, the judge said it is not enough. The judge is Carol Murphy.
The court concludes on this record that strict scrutiny does not apply. However, even if it did, the court finds that the plaintiffs would not likely prevail on this facial challenge. The court concludes that the proclamations at issue will likely be found to be a valid exercise of the governor's police and emergency powers.
It's all about the emergency powers, and unless we get him to either relinquish his emergency powers or to go on record saying it's no longer an emergency, or, frankly, getting the legislature to change those particular powers, he gets to do this. He gets to do this. Now, is this the end-all, be-all of this particular case? No, it's going to get appealed, but it's going to lose. It is going to get to the Supreme Court, and it is going to lose. Now, ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court could step in at some point in a bigger way and get some clarity and decisions here. But as of right now, to be clear, you're not going to see any relief. And that comes to the dismay of thousands of people in this state. The 8 to 10% of the state workforce who work for agencies like the Department of Corrections or for the Department of Veterans Affairs, they're going to be out of a job. Teachers, bus drivers, nurses, cops, out of a job. The Washington State Hospital Association says the losses will be the biggest in rural eastern Washington.
Our state is so interconnected with respect to a healthcare system that any loss impacts all of us. If we have a reduction in services in one area or a reduction in beds in an area, it impacts all of us.
That's Dr. Reza Khalil with the Catholic Health System in the Tri-Cities. And he notes that when the hospitals have to end up cutting services because of staff shortages, obviously, the patients will suffer. They get sent maybe to other facilities around the state, which is not very convenient. And that is assuming that the other places can actually handle them. Now, we won't know until midnight tonight the exact numbers of staff members who will be out of a job, who are now out of a job at hospitals. We'll get that maybe later tonight into tomorrow. But we know that people are losing their jobs. We know that the governor is not walking this back. You have lots of state troopers who now find themselves unemployed. And a couple of them over the weekend videoed their sign-off. Normally, it is something that's done for people who are retiring. And it's deeply meaningful. You go on, you say your goodbyes, you say your thanks. The dispatcher comes on, goes through some of your accomplishments, what you've done during your time with the agency. But in this case, they did it because of how they're leaving. They're not retiring. They're being fired. They're being terminated. Now, we can pretend that this is involuntary termination or what is it? Involuntary resignation. You can do whatever you want, or voluntary resignation. You can make that claim. These people are fired. Trooper Robert LeMay of Yakima County, been on this show before, will be on at 3:30. I'm a big fan of his. He is standing up for what he believes in. He has a religious objection here. This is someone who has kids who now finds himself without a job. And this is how he signed off.
This is my final sign off. After 22 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, being asked to leave because I am dirty. Numerous fatalities, injuries. I've worked sick. I've played sick. We buried lots of friends over these years. I'd like to thank you guys. I'd like to thank the citizens of Yakima County, as well as my fellow officers within the valley. Without you guys, I wouldn't have been very successful, and you've kept me safe and got me home to my family every night. Thank you for that. Wish I could say more, but this is it. So State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my ass.
And with that, he drops his radio and he's done. He's out. He's out of a job. Someone who's been doing this for 22 years, who comes with a ton of experience, a ton of training. If you want to watch that video, as at this point, just on my Twitter feed alone, has been viewed well over a million times. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. After 22 years, we're losing the institutional knowledge that he had. But beyond that, this is someone who has earned a long list of certifications. He's very good at what he does. He's certified in hazmat. He knows on-scene hazmat command school. He was trained as a collision reconstructionist. He's got a specialty in heavy vehicles. He was also a drug recognition expert instructor. He's gotten many, many awards over his career, including the Red Cross Real Life Hero Award, the Washington State Patrol Commission Award twice, the Washington State Patrol Commercial Vehicle Division Trooper of the Year three times, and got a certificate of appreciation for seatbelt law enforcement, which maybe we shouldn't mention that one, because people might get a little bit upset. He, of course, was not the only one who signed off in this way over the weekend. Sergeant Richard Thompson. I say sergeant, a year ago Saturday, he became a sergeant. And little did he know his career was going to end because of his unwillingness to submit to what he believes, what I believe, what most of you believe, is a government that is asking of too much. They are asking of us too much. He's been doing this for 17 years, and he said goodbye.
Due to my personal choice to take a moral stand against for medical freedom and personal choice, I will be signing out of service for the last time today. After nearly 17 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, it has been my honor and privilege to work alongside all of you. I want to take a moment to thank those that have helped me be successful, to be safe, and to go home every day. At the end of each shift, to hear the ripping of that Velcro is a relief to my wife and kids. I want to admonish each of you, knowing that despite what the press releases and the news conferences are saying to downplay this role, we all know in this district, on the 19th, there will be 51 of the 75 troopers available, and only 7 of the 11 sergeants. So please, 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 take care of each other. So please, take care of each other. Be safe, and make sure you all go home at the end of each day. Again, thank you to each and every one of you that have stood alongside me and that we have helped each other out. But as for me, I am out of service and on to new adventures.
Now, when I said afterwards, you get something from your dispatch communications officer, whomever's on duty at that point. And he got a send-off from the dispatcher who at the time happened to be his wife, who now is also out of a job. Her name is Selena.
On behalf of your D5 coworkers, I want to say you've been a pleasure to work with for the last almost 17 years. You've accomplished great things here, and built amazing friendships along the way. You've led your crew in DYRS year after year, been an FTO, a DRE, and peer support member, and most recently made sergeant last year. This agency is losing an outstanding, hardworking, determined, and caring individual. I'm honored to have been your dispatcher, but mostly proud to be your wife. Our future is bright. Thank you so much for your service, Winton.
Now, both of them will be on the show at 4:15, so an hour from now, talking about that experience. We are headed into pretty uncharted territory, and the time to turn back has passed. You have tonight at midnight, you're going to see different prisons be cut somewhere between 9 and 15% staff. Do you think prisons can handle that? You're going to see a Washington State Patrol that loses not just troopers, but loses the people who answer 911 calls. You're going to have a fire department in Seattle that is going to be deeply impacted. The SPD, Mayor Durkin's putting out false numbers, claiming that it's just about 24 who haven't turned in their vaccine paperwork. No, it's about 123. That's a minimum. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show, but things are not going in the way that you would want them to go. Seattle Public Schools, they cut 5% of their school bus staff. What does that mean? It means a quarter of the routes have just been canceled, and they're unlikely to be filled back up until maybe mid-December. And that's assuming they can hire the people and train them in time. Does this sound like a good few months are coming? Not at all. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my story that has the videos of these dispatchers and these troopers saying their goodbyes. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. Earlier today, I discussed the staffing crisis that will occur both in Seattle but also Chicago. On the police side, due to the vaccine mandates, I was on with the Faulkner Focus. If you missed it, you can head on over to our YouTube channel and watch a clip of it. Or, of course, you can text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
Pretty shocking news that a lot of us woke up to. Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State, died from complications due to COVID-19. This according to his family. He was 84 years old, and no one, as far as I can tell, knew that he was dealing with COVID. This is someone who was fully vaccinated. We don't know if that accounts for any boosters, but we know that he had at least two vaccine shots. Now, inevitably, that will bring up a conversation that is worthy and important concerning the efficacy of the vaccine. And there are some people who are having bad faith conversations about this. Most people, I think, are having good faith attempts to talk about it. Will Cain, for example, he was on Fox and Friends. He was filling in this morning. And he said something that was not at all controversial. He didn't even provide any commentary about that particular angle to the story of him being vaccinated. And he got ripped online to say, too soon.
There will be many conversations in the wake of this death. There will be honoring this man, this public servant, this human being who was a professional soldier for 35 years. We can reflect on his life, and we should. There will also be conversations about the fact that he was fully vaccinated, according to his family, and he died from complications from COVID. We are beginning to see statistics like this grow in frequency.
Yes, we are.
We know that the vaccine does wane over time and its ability to protect you from not just transmission and infection, but from severe complications and hospitalization, and obviously death as well. We know that it wanes, and we know that it's beginning to spill over COVID into the vaccinated population. Again, Colin Powell, in the direct age demographic that suffers the most from complications from COVID. But I think everyone watching needs to be aware of limitations and protections that we have all offered ourselves through this pandemic, and all of this are potential risks.
Just real quickly, was there anything controversial about any of that, what he just said? Literally anything?
No, not a thing.
Usually the controversy when someone dies is someone rips into the person. They call them out. They say that they were warmongers or they were bad, whatever it happens to be, they criticize. This was a completely 100% legitimate and important conversation to have. He very clearly stated that the data shows that vaccines work, but he also stated that Colin Powell was 84 years old, who falls just right square in the center of the demographic that is most impacted by COVID, including if you were to get vaccinated. And that's the part that's really important. Some people who already are dismissive of the vaccine will say that this shows you the vaccine does not work. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. There's lots of data that shows that the vaccine protection as it relates to or in versus, say, natural immunity is very clearly not as protective. Natural immunity protects you better, according to multiple studies. However, there's plenty of data that shows that the vaccine not only is safe, but does, in fact, protect you from serious illness or death. But Jason, Colin Powell had the vaccine. Doesn't that disprove what you just said? No, not at all. He had serious underlying health conditions. He had multiple myeloma. This is a cancer of the blood cells, and it suppresses your body's ability to use your immune system to put up an immune response to when you have an infection. He also had Parkinson's disease at the same time. I know some people have falsely and stupidly refer to this vaccine as a miracle vaccine. It is not a miracle. Miracles are miracle. This is a vaccine. A vaccine cannot protect you from everything forever and ever and ever. I think that folks on the left and the vaccine at all costs activists did themselves and this country a disservice by claiming that if you were to get this vaccine, nothing will happen. You will never get COVID. You will live until you're 213 years old. Just get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. Here's a parody that was made by a TikToker. Or so, what was that guy? Who's the annoying one on TikTok who's very over the top? Wavy something. He's got some stupid name. That guy. We'll let him into the White House, and he's going to put on a fun music video. It's all about how much he loves Anthony Fauci and how you should get the jab. That was stupid of them to do. But when you have those kinds of serious underlying health conditions on top of being 84 years old, guess what? The vaccine is not going to do the same things for you as it would for someone who's 47 years old. That is a fact. And people have to be aware of that and accept that. But don't listen to the voices who will tell you, oh, you see, shows you the vaccine doesn't work. No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. That's the equivalent of someone saying, well, I still have a headache even though I took Tylenol. Shows you Tylenol doesn't work. No, that's not quite what it tells you. Let's be honest about this. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A 22-year veteran of the Washington State Patrol signed off from his final shift over the weekend with some parting words for Governor Jay Inslee. Kiss my backside, except, of course, he leaned into that. We played you the audio early on. The video now on my Twitter feed has been seen by over 1.3 million people. It's going around the world because, in a lot of ways, Trooper Robert LeMay is saying what a lot of people would like to say as they lose their jobs here in Washington State due to Governor Jay Inslee's vaccine mandate. Trooper LeMay joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
It seemed like an emotional sign-off for you. Take us through those moments and how you chose your words.
Well, actually, I was in communications saying goodbye to everybody, and one of the CEOs reached out to me, and she says, well, is anybody going to do your last sign-off? And it really emotionally hit me. It's like, this is real. And I said, honestly, I didn't even think about that. And I kind of left the room. As I drove home, at that time, I still had the remainder of the shift. I told my boss, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't ethically sit here and do this. Since we were getting fired, it's like, I'm not even taking calls. I'm not doing investigations. It's like, what's the point? I'm sitting here drinking coffee, you know, going on disabled calls, backing my guys as best I can. I'm an empty holster, is what we call it in the industry. So, he was gracious enough to let me go home. I drove home. I thought about this. I'm like, you know something? This is the last time. So when you retire from a law enforcement agency, this is a big deal. Your last sign off is, it sets the precedent for, you know, thank you. It's your opportunity to speak to everybody that's helped you throughout the years. So as I drove, I really wasn't sure what I was going to say. I honestly didn't even plan on saying that, but the more I talked and listened to what was going on, the more pissed I got. So I just let it fly.
You let it fly, and if anyone wants to watch it, just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You'll get a link to either my blog or my either YouTube channel, Twitter feed. I've posted it everywhere because I do think that this is the least we can do for a law enforcement member who's given a lot of his time, sacrificed a lot to protect us all. You leave the force with a lot of experience. I mean, the institutional knowledge is one thing, but the amount of training that you've undergone is rather significant. Do you have any regrets as to how this is ending?
Regrets for me, no. I'm actually very sorry for the state. And you're right. I've had a lot of, very fortunate opportunities in my career to get some really crazy training, great stuff. I've lost track of how many dead bodies I've dealt with over the years as a reconstructionist. I've held dead babies. I've had people die in my arms as they look me in the eyes and beg for me to save them. This has been my career. I've been in 4 car accidents. The last one was a drunk driver, and I've got 3 vertebrae out my neck. My lower back has actually been fused because of previous injuries to the agency. I don't walk away as a guy that just sat there drinking coffee all day long. I was very into what I needed to do. The reconstruction is part of it. I wasn't a college guy. I wasn't into math, but there was a need for it. So I stepped up and educated myself. Currently, I got a mental health program that I actually started. The state of Washington wants to take to teach all their law enforcement. And it basically is dealing with, critical incidents with people in regards to homeless or impaired drivers, or it's getting them the help instead of just saying, hey, we're going to throw you in jail. It's like, let's fix this problem. Let's find the root cause of what's doing this and making you ill. There's a lot I've offered to the state. I'm sorry it had to leave like this. I really am. My wife and I, after we put the mic in, my wife actually did the recording, and she had no idea what I was going to say, and she nearly dropped the phone after I said that. And then we sat there and honestly, we cried for a little bit. It's both of ours. It's just as hard as it on her as it is on me. It's really affected my family.
How has it affected your family?
The uncertainty. I've walked away. So now as I'm not retired, I've been fired. Jay Inslee decided we're going to be more vindictive. So instead of even saying, okay, fired, you guys get severance pay, you get unemployment. We don't get the unemployment. We don't get any of that stuff. I've had 22.5 years of sick leave occurred. As a retiree, I'd be able to roll that into a VEBA account so I could use that, down the line if I need to have medical condition or medical services for my family. I've lost all that now. The way they've handled the exit for all the state employees, and not just troopers, is very vindictive, very spiteful. We've asked, simple questions about how to deal with things. What are we doing? Can you, is there something you can do for us? And they basically slam the door on us. The straw that broke the camel's back was your interview or, Inslee last Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he was doing an interview and I was in Seattle listening to your show. And for that man to sit up there and just say, hey, thanks for playing. See you later. That was the knife in the back. I'm like, you vindictive piece of garbage. This is a man that actually, and this is from people that have worked in his circle in regards to security. He is a vindictive man. He is a bully pulpit man. They say that's how he operates in Olympia, is by being a bully. This is clearly the way it is. He's never answered any questions that we've had. He's been very vindictive. You will do this because I say so. and not giving people options. Again, I'm in a better spot than a lot of the other young troopers or COs, but a lot of these people, they were forced to take the vaccination because they're single income, single medical, and they can't afford anything else. So it's been very devastating. It's gotten to the point where one of the coworkers I had in the past, she's left us, but she actually started a GoFundMe page. And what I'm not comfortable with that, but the more we talked about it, it's like, you know something? We can actually help people out with this. So that's the focus of this now. They want to GoFundMe to that. Fantastic. I'm going to help out these young troopers. We got guys that just had babies that have only been on the road for probably 3 years at best that are like, we don't know what we're going to do. We're at wit's end. And if we can help them out, we're going to do it.
Trooper Robert LeMay is joining me on the line. He's out of a job because he wanted to abide by his religious convictions and not listen to the vaccine mandate that Governor Jay Inslee is forcing upon him and thousands of other employees. You know, some folks have said on Twitter in response to the video that you made this choice. This was your decision. You are not a victim here. What say you?
I think we're all victims. I mean, and those same people, and I'm not on Twitter, so, but I've heard
you're
that.
Lucky.
Well, yeah, I'm new to all this, as you well know, but, my kids have been telling me about it. Oh yeah, there's a lot of nasty stuff. You know, people have a freedom of speech to say what they want. And that's a great example. You have the right to say what you say, what you don't want to say on public forum. That's fantastic. Well, when they start pushing things like vaccinations, they start pushing things like your radio show. Hey, you can't say these types of things. If people wonder what this is like, look at China. Look at Germany under, say, Adolf Hitler. I mean, this is a historic thing that's been going on in the past that's happening now. You're right. This is my decision to leave. I believe they forced me out, but I'm comfortable with that decision. I'm a grown man. I'm responsible for my actions. Why can't I have those same gratitudes when taking a vaccine?
We haven't gotten the official word on your colleagues who might be out of a job. We're obviously speaking to several of them over the coming days who are out. What do you get? What's the sense you're getting as far as how many troopers have been fired or pushed out?
Well, and that's a great question. I've actually been telling all the other radio shows I've been talking to, and they need to really be asking is not who's leaving now, but who is still leaving.
Yeah.
So the numbers I'm hearing is probably 94 to 100 troopers, roughly. Office staff, you're probably 200. DOT, the Goldendale detachment, or for DOT, they've all left. So if any of you guys travel and say this pass through 97th, the Yakima Reservation, you don't have a plow driver anymore. That's a big deal. So that number, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't say it. Continue.
Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, that number is going to explode. The troopers I've talked to more troopers that are vaccinated that are still leaving than people mm-hmm. that are unvaccinated. And I want people to hear that. These are people that are upset. In law enforcement, we're a very tight-knit family. I have to trust that you got my back and in the situations that I have. And if I can't, I really don't want to do business with you. The state of Washington has lost respect of law enforcement, state patrols in particular, but all law enforcement, first responders, firefighters, so on and so forth. We have lost trust. We have lost faith. So that being said, yeah, you might only have 94 guys that are putting it up or 100 guys as today. But you need to start looking at the long term. And the more you interview people, you hear the same. I've talked to multiple people that had 3 months left, 4 months left. One young troop in particular, he goes, if I can just hold out a month, my other job will start. Those are the conversations I'm having with people. So this is not just a one-time thing. This is a long-term effect, which it actually just collapsed our agency in the state.
And I think the cascade effect of all of this, whether we're talking about the troopers or the Seattle Police Department, whatever it happens to be, I think it is being ignored. You create resentment when you force people to go against their religious convictions or a medical concern or simply forcing them over ideological grounds to violate a belief system of theirs. And to do so, you exploit their financial insecurity. I think that creates resentment that maybe a couple months from now, maybe a year from now, all of a sudden an officer who's a very good one who would otherwise stay with the Washington State Patrol or SPD or wherever ends up taking another job, going elsewhere, maybe getting out of law enforcement altogether because they don't get over the bad feelings that were caused by an authoritarian leaning governor. I think it's disgusting. I wish you the best of luck in what's happening. I know the last time you and I spoke on air, you said you were considering going to Texas, which is probably a state that you'll be a little bit more protected from versus something like Washington. If anyone wants to watch this video, as well as the video of another officer, Sergeant Richard Thompson, who will be on the show in the 4 o'clock hour, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll go ahead and send you a link. Trooper Robert LeMay, trooper for the last official day, thank you so much for stopping by, and best of luck going forward.
Sure, thank you. And for all your listeners, I mean, your program, you are just phenomenal. So thank you so much. God bless you. And stay in touch, my friend.
Absolutely. We will do that. Absolutely. Again, go to mynorthwest.com, KTTH.com, check out the video, or just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason RANTZ Show. Really do appreciate you tuning in. Quick programming note, I'll be on Fox News at night at 9 o'clock. I think I'm their lead guest, or I'm on the panel that's leading the show, so you won't have to stay up that late. And more importantly, I won't have to stay up that late.
You know, that's pretty impressive. You're batting leadoff on a few shows over the last, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Quite often. Your batting average is probably through the roof.
Yeah.
Playoffs comes around.
I mean, in fairness, in baseball, through the roof could mean, like, 300.
Yeah. I mean, it's all one for three.
It's not that good. I mean, let's be honest. About 300 out of what? 1,000?
Yeah, failing two out of three times gets you into the Hall of Fame in baseball. Isn't that something?
It is something. It is something. Let's talk about sports then, since you brought it up.
Ah, I love sports.
Jamal Adams is a Seahawks player who thinks a lot of himself. And I have no doubt at all that he is very good. We've seen him play. But this is how he introduced himself on Sunday Night Football.
Jamal Adams, I'm the best in the nation.
Okay, so he's not only the best in the nation, but the best in the nation.
Yes.
And I kind of like that level of confidence. Like, I generally like it, because there's almost like a knowing ego. Like, when I say I'm the best, well, that's a bad example. I am the best in the world. But there's some people who proclaim to be really, really good about what they do.
Like, your producer is the best producer in... Yeah. So in the entire country.
You say that, but you know you're not at all. So you're kind of like, you're knowingly being egotistical. And there's a sense of charm to that. Not with you, because you lack all charm altogether, unlike myself, who's just a charm machine. But there was something about Jamal Adams that I liked that. I liked it.
You enjoyed that introduction?
It's some nice personality. However, when you do end up being that kind of confident player or confident whatever, generally speaking, you don't want to be embarrassed by a bad play in that same moment.
Yes.
It's generally not a good look.
If you're going to talk to talk, you got to walk the walk.
But at some point, he got hit right in the face with a ball that should have been intercepted.
Roethlisberger just 3 runs. Bad almost threw an interception. Jamal Adams had a game changer in his hands.
Adams dropped down from the free safety position into this lurk position, and you're going to see the hook route on the outside stop instead of what Ben thought was. He was going to cross his face there, and for Jamal Adams,
man,
hit him right in the head. He was coming in for the hit, trying to dislodge the ball.
Jamal Adams, I'm the best in the nation.
Not last night, but he's still very good. Maybe even the best screw up. Even the best, to go back to baseball for a moment, only hit 312.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's a freak athlete, but there's a reason he's playing on defense, and it's because he can't catch the ball.
So, you know.
He got hit so hard in the face with that ball. I could not believe it.
It is kind of funny, because that point is a valid one. You are still expected to intercept balls.
Yes, best in the nation would do so.
However, generally speaking, you're on the defense, not for that skill.
Yes.
Generally speaking.
You'd be playing wide receiver if you had good hands.
So It is just bad timing. But no one's going to note that. They will make fun of this, as many people did today. Mediate was where I originally saw it, but then I saw others picking it up.
Don't make fun of it too much, Jason. He has an ear for the media. He's also a podcast subscriber. He listens.
Mm-hmm. But all 3 hours, I heard.
He does call out media members.
Call me out, man. I'm saying I like him.
After that, though?
Yeah, even after this. You know what? He should double down the next time. He should go, I'm Jamal Adams, and not only am I the best in the nation, I'm the best in the world.
And then climb to universe by, like, the next week.
Only if he commits another embarrassing error.
I mean, then, they are on Monday Night Football next week, so they will get these player introductions again.
Is it normal to do Sunday night and then Monday Night Football in a row?
No, it
seems rare.
Well, and we had Thursday night last week.
If only we had our starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's probably what the NFL had in mind when they built this schedule.
can I comment on Russell Wilson, who I know is out because he broke / dislocated / whatever his finger? I found him to be really annoying yesterday in ways that I've been kind of finding him annoying because he's a little bit too much I'm going to be the leader guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes being a leader.
He likes the limelight now.
Yeah. Sometimes it means stepping back a little bit. But he's on the sidelines. He's talking to one of the refs after a call. Like, you're not the coach, dude. I get that, you know, part of him leading is to lead by example and show up even though he's injured. He could sort of just sulk on the bench, right? In theory, he could be up in a suite somewhere watching, but not actually playing. He's not that kind of guy, and I can respect that. I think that is really admirable. But he's going a little bit too thick on this sort of I'm a leader stuff. Just pull it back a little bit. Just a tad. It was like I really appreciated his Twitter feed when every once in a while you'd get a tweet that was, you know, quoting scripture and, you know, in a way that you're not supposed to, right? Because NFL is the woke league. You're not supposed to be Christian, and he would throw it out there. But then he got a little bit cray-cray, and then all the Instagrams with whatever his... What's his wife's
Sierra.
Name? Sierra. Sierra or Sierra?
Sierra.
That one. It's a little much.
I think you can blame NBC a little bit for that, too, because...
No, he didn't. Yeah, NBC made him talk to the ref.
No, but NBC last night... How many times do you think NBC panned to him?
Multiple times, including when he showed up before anyone even got there and did a faux practice pretending he was playing quarterback. It's just, it's too much. And what I feel bad for is the new quarterback, whose name I even forgot.
Geno Smith.
What?
Smith.
That guy. I know. You're taking away a little bit of limelight from him. And now maybe he's doing it because it relieves some of the pressure. But also the limelight on a professional athlete could make them rise to the occasion. And something tells me that if he was feeling that kind of inspiration, he might have held on to the ball a little bit better when running with it without it getting fumbled and then, of course, losing the game. Just throwing that out there. The Jason Rand Show.